Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 titled, Do All in the Name of the Lord Jesus. This is part 2 of 2.
I'd rather hear that than some heretical nonsense or someone up there just trying to show off. Amen? But you know, people are doing that in the name of Jesus and it's not going to reward. There's no reward in that. There's also no reward in false unity with apostates. Amen. Everybody today wants to sound real spiritual and say, oh, we should just get along with everybody and I believe we should have this. We had this thing one time, a March for Jesus, they called it. And they wanted our church to be a part of that. And they gave me a website and I went there and I went to the, they listed the churches and had links to their websites. And so I went and looked. I mean, you had churches that were openly pro-sodomite and other ones who are openly pro-abortion and all this stuff. And they wanted March for Jesus. What Jesus are you marching for? I'll tell you what one. The one that's a figment of their imagination. And but you march with apostates. That's called the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches and all that. You can do that in Jesus' name all you want, but it's not good. He's not getting any glory out of that. And also the last one I'll mention is accommodating sin of loved ones. Today people say, they'll blame Jesus and say, I just believe it's out of love that I should put up with my son or my daughter who's living in sin and doing, and I could list, it's not just sex. There's all kinds of sins that they're involved in. And they accommodate them. They don't confront them. They don't draw a line and say, you know what, you're welcome here, but you're not bringing that in.
Amen.
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 If you love your son or your daughter, you'll draw that line.
Amen.
And you do that in the name of Jesus and let that sin come in your home and you accommodate it. And churches are doing it too.
Yeah.
A lot of what churches will do is let the people who are in unrepentant sin come in and they'll just never say anything about it. I'll guarantee you on Judgment Day you're going to find out there are people who come into the church and sit down in the building and the preacher will not say something that he would have said if they weren't sitting there. That's just bad. Wicked. In other words, do not do those things in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, now that we're clear on the context. Context, context, context. I should scare somebody and say, now that was my introduction. It wasn't, but we'll go back to this verse real quick. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, but you better keep that in context. It's talking about all you do as you put on the new man. Previous verses. All you do as you put on the new man and you let that new man control and not the old man, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the question is then being answered here, who gets the praise? That's the question being answered. Who gets the praise? Here's a little reality check. When we do things with the right heart, we want Jesus to be praised. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a compliment. There's nothing wrong with somebody comes up and just wants to be encouraging to you. Don't get so super spiritual that you make it awkward. Amen? I mean, someone comes up and says, you know, Stephen has a good lesson. And you can just say, well, thanks. Now, if they come up and they say, you know, oh, Stephen, you're the greatest ever. There's never been a better teacher. And start you lapping it on like that. You better watch out. Because usually that's the person, they praise you most, they reach down and you think they're bowing down to you. Instead, they're pulling the carpet out from underneath your feet. Flattery is different. There's a difference between encouragement and flattery. Some of the most praising people in my life, people who came up and really poured it on, turned out to be the biggest jerks. Watch out for that. But people come up and they'll email me or whatever and talk about a message they really liked or whatever. And I'll respond and say, thank you. Praise the Lord. It's a great book. Because that's really what it's about. If you just say it's a great message because I was able to entertain you, or whatever, then it wasn't a great message. But if it's a great message because you got something from God's Word.
Amen.
And that's another thing. Some people don't understand. They think that it's only a great Bible study or a great message if, you got excited. Or, all that emotions. Ooh. People are controlled by their feelings today. And that's what the whole charismania thing is. Ooh, I felt that. Yeah, and so it isn't even substance as long as I can get your emotions going. Get ready. Every Sunday I do something that I do not feel like doing. Getting out of bed. 7:30, my alarm goes off. And I roll out of bed. And I start walking toward the family room. And then I see what looks like an angel. And she's looking. This angel has coffee. And I take the nectar of heaven. And I walk over to a lazy boy. And when I sit down, if it weren't for that coffee, I probably would never get up again. Because I'm lazy. But it's like Popeye eating a spinach. I drink down the coffee, I'm like, bang, bang, yeah! To the shower! And then the shower, man. If you all don't shower before you come to church, I'm not pointing at anybody, but I can tell. No, I'm just kidding. But if you don't shower before you come to church, you're messing up. That's not the way to do it. Get in that shower. Man, it will make you feel like $100. And then you're ready to go. But there are probably people not here today because they just didn't feel like getting up. Controlled by their feelings. There'll be people who, won't do a lot of things that they ought to do for the Lord because the feelings control them. But it also can be a helpful motivation not only to not be controlled by your feelings, but want the opportunity to do something that can bring glory to the Lord. That ought to be, as I said, it ought to be the theme of your life. You want to do things. But sadly, most people want to do things so they can get recognition. So they can be glorified. And I've told you, I've been to churches where you walk in and we've got, scripture signs and all that kind of thing. But you walk into some churches and there's the pastor's face, and the pastor's name or everything. Yeah. And they once the pastor gets a certain amount of following and everything, and then it becomes, Greg Miller Ministries International. And, Pastor Gregory Miller.com. And you can buy this mug for a gift of $400. We'll send you this mug with Greg's face on it. That kind of thing. Did you say to chase off the mice? Is that what you wanted for? Yeah, heard that. Turn over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1.
Somebody in the morning.
Verses 12 through 14, we studied many, many moons ago. By the way, the 19th, when is that? 2 days from now, they're going to have that super moon, just as FYI. See the handiwork of God. Check out that super moon if there's clear sky Tuesday night. But Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 12, I'm going to start ahead of that while you're turning there. But we read in verse 10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We're one big happy family. Amen. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Begin reading verse 12 with me. that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now, look at that. He started out 2,000 years ago talking about those who first trusted in Christ being to the praise of whose glory? His glory. Then he talks about those in verse 13 who also trusted the gospel that was preached, beginning with those who first believed, and that we have been given the down payment of the Holy Spirit, the earnest, the down payment, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's you. You're the purchased possession. You have been bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are already... one preacher one time, I heard preach that we're on layaway right now. And I don't really agree with that analogy, but in a way it's true. It's like we're on layaway, and there's coming a day... Now, how many of you know what layaway is? I learned about layaway when I had a little... Mariah and her sisters, and I wanted to buy a bunch of stuff but didn't have a bunch of money. So I would go in like October, and I'd put stuff in layaway, and then I'd make payments every 2 weeks when I got paid. And then there was that big day when I got to go and get all that stuff that I was going to give to them on Christmas. It was a big deal to me in my early 20s to be able to pay that off and be able to take that stuff home and give to those kids. Well, that's just a tiny little glimpse of the kind of thing that we're involved in, where you're on layaway. And there's coming a day when you'll be finally, the purchase will be complete, and you'll be redeemed, and it will be to His glory. Because you didn't do a thing to deserve it. You didn't do a thing to help it. It was all about Him. That's why Jesus alone deserves all of our praise. That's why in our music, our hymns, our praise, we won't allow songs in that praise anyone other than Jesus. He's the only one who will ever, forever deserve the praise. You were born again in order to work.
Amen.
I don't like to work. I just want to sit here and eat my popcorn and watch movies. I like to play video games. I want to go golfing. I like to be out on the water. I like to go fishing. I like to be up in a tree looking for deer to kill. On it goes. Is there anything wrong with any of those things? Not in and of themselves. But there are people who consume so much of their time with those things that they don't have any time to bring glory to the Lord. Oh, but I beat the high score. Praise the Lord. No, that's not going to cut it. But look at that 10-pointer I got there. Well, praise the Lord if you eat it. He provided you some meat. We're supposed to work for the glory of God. That's why you're left here. We're in Ephesians 1. Turn over to Ephesians 2. If you didn't, close your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8, very familiar territory, but a lot of times they cut off verse 10 and kind of lose some of the message, some of the bite. Beginning of verse 8, read that with me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's got work ready for you to do. Will you do it? A lot of people today, I mean, we're so starstruck, and everybody's a superstar, even people who haven't done anything but take pictures of their butt and put it on the internet. And they're superstars because they got a big butt. Or they got big boobs, and they take pictures barely covering their boobs, and they put them out on the internet. And that's supposed to be a star today. That's your culture. Don't get mad at me for telling you what your culture is. That's what your culture is. Our superstars are talentless boobs and butts. Well, a lot of people want to be superstars themselves. So you got Instagram and Facebook, and they're putting their own boobs and butts up there. Yeah. I'm talking about professing Christians here. I told Jenny about a young lady who tragically died this week. And in the obituary, talked about how she loved the Lord and all this. Go to her Facebook page, and it looked like Kim Kardashian. Professing Christian, loved the Lord, showing the whole world her boobs and her butt. Amen. That's the reality we're living with. Instead of getting glory for herself, she could have lived her life doing things that would bring glory to the Lord. Amen. That might even include helping to clean the church.
Amen.
That might include helping with the babies in the church.
Amen.
That might include putting salt out.
Amen.
That might include flushing a toilet when you see someone else didn't.
Amen.
You say, well, that's not going to bring glory to the Lord. I think He's pleased.
Amen.
I think He cares about the little things. See somebody who needs something. By the way, that reminds me, we've got a humidifier. It's almost, season's almost over, but we've got a humidifier if anybody needs it. If you know somebody needs something, bring it in. We'll ask if anybody needs it, and if no one here needs it, we'll try to find somebody who does.
Thank you. Amen.
Do it in the name of the Lord, not in your own name. There's been men who have driven around. We have 270, but most big cities have something like that. Cincinnati has 275.
The
outer belts. Men who have gotten their cars week after week, they're not preachers, they don't have their names in lights, and they've driven around and they watch to see someone broken down. Some of them even have the radios and things so they know when someone breaks down. And they go and they offer help. They offer to help them change a tire. Give them fix a flat for a tire to get them to the gas station. Help them if they ran out of gas. Whatever they... And present the gospel.
Amen.
They did those things in the name of the Lord. Some of you, I don't care if you can be a plumber, you can be an electrician, you can be someone who can help an elderly person with cleaning their home. You can do any number of things. It ain't going to make you famous. You're not going to get your name in lights. But you can do it in the name of the Lord. And He'll get the glory. And people, I've heard people tell the stories. Tell stories about this so-and-so. I didn't know who they were. Did this for me. And they just told me they just wanted to do it because Jesus wanted them to do it.
Amen.
I don't know who it was, but when I was alone with my daughters and flat broke, but wanted to take them out, and somebody saw me alone with my girls and paid the bill and left me a gospel tract.
Amen.
I was saved, but I was very thankful. That's doing it. Not everybody's got that kind of money, but man, if you see somebody struggling to take care of their kids or something like that, and you can pay their little McDonald's bill or Chick-fil-A or wherever you're at, and leave them, and I just ask you to give them this. And they go up to, you know, pay the bill. And I was standing there, I put in the order, and I was standing there waiting, and she said, okay, we'll give you your order down here. And I thought, ooh, did I have a blackout? I don't remember paying. You know, I didn't pay yet. Oh, it's taken care of. Like, you mean no, somebody, okay, I walk over there and they bring the food, and on the food, oh, and they ask me to give you this. I mean, you talk about mind blown. Thanking the Lord.
Amen.
So you do that, and don't leave them a picture of yourself, you know, and it's for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen?
It's also not so you'll benefit. It's not for you to personally benefit.
Amen.
Things you do for the Lord in the world, you'll get nothing out of it.
Amen.
The blessing comes, but it's not for the glory of gold. Amen?
Amen.
I worked for an employer one time. They were just very uncouth and unethical. And it was sad because on the front they had a big sign that said, "Glory to God." And all the people that worked there used to joke about how it ought to say, "Glory to Gold." Amen. That's a shame. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." That's why even guys who like to play act like they're serving the Lord, but they're really doing it because they want the tax breaks and they want their name in lights and all that, they won't come to a church unless that church will give them that. So churches have gotten to where they'll take gifts of sizable amounts and make sure one way or another everybody knows where it came from.
Yep.
So they get the glory. Well, I hope they enjoyed that because that's all the reward they're going to get.
Amen.
Amen. Grace. When someone's really saved, grace produces works. But it's a lot of times you won't even know. That's why you better be careful judging everybody around you and saying, "Well, I never see so-and-so doing anything." You don't know. You don't know what they're doing when they're not here. You don't know what they've done for people throughout the week. I had somebody complain one time, a long time ago, not any time recently. But I had somebody complain some time ago. "I just don't know what you're doing all the time." I said, "Well, I could, you know, let you live with me for a couple of weeks and you can see." And most of the time you're going to be bored to death with the things that any real pastor studying and preparing and then all the things that go involved. You don't know what some preachers, you know, because you see them on the golf course all the time, granted. But there are some preachers, just because you don't see us, don't think that we're just sitting around playing video games or watching movies or, you know, whatever. And don't judge each other. This is about you judging yourself. Oh, me. Amen?
Amen.
Titus 2, we're going to close up here. Titus 2, beginning verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Amen. I love that verse. Amen. Pick up verse 12 and read with me. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Do you see that? That's how you're supposed to live now. And I think one of the reasons you see this next verse right where it's at is because this is a great motivator for living that way. Read verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." If you're consumed with Jesus, and you're consumed with just wanting to be with Jesus, can't wait to see Jesus, looking forward to the rapture, then in the meantime, you're going to be busy doing what Jesus told you to do and wanting people to know the only reason you're doing it is because of Jesus. I tell people all the time, you know, I'll get, you know, people say, "Look at all these messages online, this and that." I said, "Listen, I'm just doing this because Jesus told me to." Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." If it was up to Greg Miller, I wouldn't be playing video games because I'm terrible. But I would be watching a lot more movies and going out and traveling and doing whatever. But I don't, because I want to occupy till He comes. And I want to bring glory to Him.
Amen.
And I want to please Him and not self. Read verses 14, 15. "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Yet we emphasize, you do not earn your salvation. Works don't help to save you. But once you're saved, you should be busy.
Amen.
You should be working. You should be doing something for the Lord. That includes the little things you do as well, as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a daughter, as a son, all those things. As an employee, you should be the hardest working employee, the most ethical employee in that organization.
Amen.
And anytime anybody asks you about it, you say, "I'm just doing what Jesus told me to do. If it's up to me, I'd be a Democrat. I'd be on welfare. I'd be getting my $500 of free income." You know? Amen. But Jesus hasn't called us to be freeloaders. And He hasn't called us to be socialists. He has called on us to work and bring glory to the Lord when we do it. Ain't that awesome? Look at it in verse 14. Purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It ought to bother people that you want to work so much. You know what? They'll call you crazy, John. You're nuts.
Amen.
Crazy goofball. Always working. Always doing something for the Lord. Always giving out tracts. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You goofball. You crazy nut. Amen.
Amen.
You're a peculiar dude. I love any time somebody says, you know, you're a weirdo, you know, and I know for sure it's not just my face they're talking about. That they think it's peculiar, that they think it's peculiar you would come to church instead of sleeping in. They think it's peculiar that you would give a portion of your income to help make sure we can pay the bills and do the work of the ministry. They think it's peculiar that you listen to church music even when you're not in church. They think it's peculiar you want to talk about God outside of church. And on it goes. That's the way it ought to be. We should be a very peculiar people to the unsaved world. And there's no small deed. I mentioned that earlier, but no small deed. You do good in Jesus' name and you will be rewarded. You do the smallest thing. And don't wave, you know, your flag to get your attention. You just do something. We thought for a while that somebody was cutting our grass here and just being a good Christian. We started thinking, you know, who? You think Dan's doing that? You know, so we went up to Dan. Dan's like, I have no idea. And I know he's not a liar, so I said, well, it ain't Dan. I mean, but anybody else got a lawnmower that comes to church here? And we knew, I asked, you know, we mentioned it to Steve and Charlie. We knew it wasn't them. Sadly, it turned out that it wasn't somebody doing a good deed. Somebody was cutting our grass and they sent us a bill and we hadn't told them to come and cut our grass. So we had a little bit of an issue and it all ended well. Chief helped me out with that, by the way. It all ended well. But then there's been times where we've come to church and somebody's done something. And we can't find out who did it.
Amen.
And I don't go investigating. I'll ask around. If no one owns up to it, I say, well, the Lord knows. Amen.
Amen.
Great is thy reward. Amen.
Amen.
And man, can you imagine how different the churches would be, let alone the world, if people would just do that.
Amen.
Random acts of kindness, they used to call it. Random acts of kindness. I'll never forget. I was broke down outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida one time in the scariest neighborhood. And I started to walk to try to get to a gas station and a cop pulled over. And he rolled down the window. He says, what the blank are you doing in this neighborhood? And I said, my car broke down. He says, well, get in. And I jumped in there. And I should say, he said, what the hell?
Yeah.
Not something, you know, and I say that, you'll see why I said that in just a second. So I got in the car, and we started to drive off, and he apologized. He said, I'm sorry I come off a little rough, but you don't belong in this neighborhood. And I said, what makes you say that? And he says, because you're fully clothed. And long story short, it was the worst crime neighborhood in Broward County, where I broke down. Now, which is the worst in Florida, that's right. And when he was taking me to a safer place where I could call and have somebody come and get my car, I said, that's the first time a cop ever picked me up and gave me a ride like that. He says, I didn't have to. I said, I know, I really appreciate it. He goes, well, you can thank Jesus. He said, because I looked at you out there, I thought, if I don't pick him up, he's a dead man. That's what he said.